Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our race recap guy's been doing with me for the last several years here on CBS Sports Radio, one of the best horse racing writers in the business. From the Daily Racing Form, Dave Grenick joins us the day after the Preakness. DG, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jody. You?
Good. How would you describe either a word or a sentence? If you need a whole paragraph, take it, but see if you could shorten up a little bit. How would you describe War of Wills' win in the Preakness?
Perfect. It was a perfect trip. You couldn't have asked for anything better. He was, people got off of him, I think, because he drew the rail again, and they noticed how rank he was in the inside in the Derby. But that was because he was surrounded by horses. This time, he was sitting back almost in the clear with really nobody to his outside and just waiting for room. Who was there? Looks like Castellano on Warrior's Charge opened the door and let War of Will go right on through. And I don't think he could have asked for a mile and three, as bad a trip as he had in the Kentucky Derby. That's as good a trip as he had in the Preakness.
Agreed. That's why I asked the question the way I did, because, hey, you win the Preakness by a length and change and do so in a fairly fast time, you would say, wow, that's an awe-inspiring, eye-opening win. Well, no, if you factor in the fact that he couldn't have gotten a possibly better trip and he took the shortest way around, and I didn't think there was any other awe-inspiring efforts that went down as compared to other years and other Preaknesses. That's why I wanted to see how you would describe it, because it's good. It's professional. No one's taking it away, and there'll be no questions about it like there was after the Kentucky Derby. But I don't know if it was the kind of race where you go, wow, that stamps him as the best three-year-old in the country.
No, not that individual performance, but he actually has accrued a pretty good body of work. With the one, obviously, the major blemish is the Louisiana Derby, where he had some kind of issue with a hind end that is not all that uncommon, but it just happened to rear itself at the wrong time. But prior to that, he had victories, I believe, in the Lecompte and the Risen Star that stamped him as, I think he was odds on favorite in the Louisiana Derby. And, that race sort of just got everybody off the bandwagon. But, up until, was that March 23rd or 24th, people were looking at him as the Kentucky Derby favorite. Had he won the Louisiana Derby, he probably might have gone in as the Derby favorite. And then they jumped off the bandwagon, and understandably so, though he had trained really well going into the Derby, was running a pretty solid race. We don't know, he was a little bit rank in that race. And, who knows if he had gotten clear, what would have been there once the question was asked. But I do think, and we've talked about this after the Derby, I thought he ran his race even after that incident up until about the, mid stretch, when I just thought he was, done. The question I had is, how far will he be most effective at? Now, this is cutting back in distance, the Preakness, so that helped, and the perfect trip helped, and being on the inside part of the racetrack, which was deemed by most observers as the better place to be, which I think was borne out by the fact that Everfast beat Owendale for second, where you'd see where Everfast finished the race and where Owendale finished the race. They were separated by a nose, much to my chagrin, by the way. Owendale being on the what would be considered the not as good part of the racetrack.
Now, let me ask you about Everfast, because I was at two different wagering outlets on Friday, Parks/Philly racetrack, and then Harris down in South Philadelphia afterwards. And I did have one guy come up to me and tell me, you got to play Everfast because it just doesn't make sense that he's here. If it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, then somebody knows something that I don't know or you don't know or doesn't seem to stand as to why, and that's when you got to actually act. And I said, all right, good luck with Everfast. He won't be getting any of my money. And, yes, like you, the outcome yesterday, there was no exotics in my future. I did have the winner across the board a little bit, but because I had absolutely no reason in my mind to use Everfast. Is there anything to that? Can you, in 2020 hindsight, look back and go, damn, if the trainer and owner thought enough to put him in when everything on paper said this horse doesn't belong in the race, and then sure enough he ends up second, should we give more credence to that for future reference?
I'll say only Calumet Farm, Brad Kelly, who's, you know, a recluse but has, you know, oodles and oodles of money, and it doesn't matter, you know, if he wants to put in $50,000 to run a horse in a race or whatever costs, $30,000, 15 entry, 15 to pass the entry box. Clayborne Farm has a history with Brad Kelly of just sort of, you know, taking shots, and they've sort of worked out. I mean, not that many people would have maybe have run Oxbow in the Preakness after his performance in the Kentucky Derby, and he wins. They ran a horse earlier in the card yesterday named Lexingtonian, who didn't look like he had much of a, you know, chance, and he wins, pays $17. So I don't that gentleman's angle. I hear what he's saying, but I, you know, just knowing the Clayborne, you know, Clayborne just likes to run in the big races. They want to run in Grade One races. So this was the next Grade One race for 3-year-olds. And Brad Kelly told Dale Romans, let's put him in. And he did. And he ran his race. And no, I still, even after the fact, 29-1, with all, if you look at this horse's past performances, this horse last year in a 14-horse field in the Kentucky Jockey Club was 146-1. Earlier this year in the Holy Bull, I think he was 123-1. I mean, he was 29-1. Maybe your friend, you know, told everybody, just you. That's his horse, because why else is he in here? But the reason he was in there is because the owner likes to be play on the biggest stage, whether he belongs or not. And sometimes, and you kind of do see this. Like, I think I tweeted out after the race, I said, playing the role of Dallas Stewart in this year's Preakness is Dale Romans, because he took a shot with a long shot who maybe didn't on paper belong in the race, and, you know, sit back, make a run, passed a lot of horses and got second.
The 110 exacta, 400 and change, was a pretty damn good payoff for a horse that figured with, like, War Will on the front end. Pretty much a given in case, of course, something could happen, training, take a bad step, War Will going to come straight to Belmont and compete in the third leg of the Triple Crown and say, hey, you know, if I wasn't interfered with, we could have been looking at another Triple Crown horse.
The plan is to run in the Belmont Stakes, but he won't come to Belmont for right away. I think he's left today to go back to Keeneland, where Mark Cassie has trained this horse effectively before. So I think he'll have him at Keeneland and then ship in the week of the race, maybe a little earlier. I think I did read somewhere where he said something about maybe a week and a half, so maybe he gets a chance to get a breeze at Belmont. But it sounds like he will be the only horse that will compete in all three Triple Crown races. But Mark Cassie does want to, provide it all as well. Mark Cassie will send him in for the race.
Understood. And looking forward to it, because I think he is a good horse. And his breeding says a mile and a half isn't a positive, but it isn't a negative either against whoever else decides to go in against him. How big a Belmont field do you think we are looking at?
As of today, I'm looking at 10 for the Belmont that are at least considering it. No particular order. Out of the Preakness, I guess the top three are at least considering it. I think War of Will and Everfast are more definite than, say, Owendale. Owendale, I think Bruce, Brad Cox, the trainer, just wants to make sure the horse is okay. He's going to take him back to Kentucky. So you have those three coming out of the Derby. I guess War of Will will be the favored. I guess second choice would be Tacitus, who was fourth, elevated to third in the Kentucky Derby for Bill Mott. He is already at Belmont. In fact, he had a breeze yesterday, his first workout back. A couple of horses that finished up the track in the Derby. Well, one of them, well, not necessarily up there, Master Fencer, who ran a, you know, respectable race, I thought, for the first time in the U.S. He also was at Keeneland. He was seventh, moved up to sixth in the Derby. He's targeting the Belmont, and then sort of also ran Tax and Spinoff, who were like 17th and 14th, or 14th and 17th, respectively. They're looking at the Derby. Looking at the Belmont. Out of the Peter Pan, I think you're looking at second and third place finishers, Sir Winston, also trained by Mark Cassie, and Intrepid Heart. And I guess the one horse I'm still sort of waiting a little more for confirmation on is Game Winner, last year's two-year-old champion, who was sixth, elevated to fifth in the Derby, also owned by Gary Mary West, the same people who own Maximum Security. I think, you know, Game Winner will probably come in here and I guess would be the third choice behind War of Will and Tacitus if he shows up.
What is going to happen with Maximum Security? Gary West has been kind of outspoken. For the most part, I've agreed with him because I didn't think the horse should have been taken down. I had no problem with him filing suit because of the way that the laws state that you have to do it in Kentucky. He's fighting the fight, and I think you're supposed to fight the fight if you're an owner. But they've kind of taken a, we'll get back to you, we'll tell you when we're ready to run again attitude. What is going to happen with Maximum Security going forward?
Well, you know, he did not necessarily come out of the Derby unscathed. I mean, he had some cuts on his hind legs. They sent him to the track the Thursday after the Derby. Trainer Jason Service didn't necessarily like what he saw on the track. He had the horse x-rayed and ultrasound and, you know, the proverbial gone over with a fine-tooth comb. Nothing was found. And I believe he started back training last Thursday, four days ago. And my guess is he's going to point to the Haskell at Monmouth Park on July 20th with a potential start in the Pegasus, not the $16 million Pegasus at Gulfstream Park, but the $150,000 Pegasus on Father's Day, June 16th at Monmouth Park. I believe that that's, you know, provided the horse is doing well and training forwardly, I think he would go Pegasus and then to the Haskell. As you were alluded to, you know, Gary West sort of started off as more of a sympathetic figure here. Nobody ever gets taken down in the Kentucky Derby. Yes, file a lawsuit, I get it, but then he got a little loud and accusatory, and then the other day he comes out with this thing, I'll put up $5 million against all these horses that either were impeded, like Bodie Express and Long Range Toddy and War of Will. And I'm thinking, I know racing doesn't have a perfect world, but if there was to be a perfect storm here, that fans might want to think about coming to the Travers in Saratoga August 24th. I could see a scenario where you could get War of Will there, you could get Maximum Security there, and hopefully maybe even Country House, who would be the official Kentucky Derby winner. He came out of the race sick, and he's getting back. You know, he's not started back training yet, but I think Bill Mott, I talked to him yesterday, and he's looking to get him to the Jim Dandy. So if you could get a perfect scenario where you've got War of Will, Maximum Security, and Country House at the Travers August 24th, you know, 1.25 million, Saratoga, the biggest day of the meet. If that could all happen, that would be a heck of a day.
Maybe I'll even raise you one because I talked to Gary Mandel, who is, of course, Richard Mandel's son, trainer himself out there on the West Coast, does some horse analyst work. The horse hasn't recovered from the procedure that he had done as well as they hoped. They're going to have to keep him in Kentucky an extra week before they ship him out to Cali. But still, their plan is to go forward with him and come back east at some point. Gary said, if Saratoga is in the offing, so be it. If not, maybe even Pennsylvania Derby. He's planning to come back at some point. There's only a couple of weeks between those two races. If he's training well and recovering well, I would guess they'd try and go Saratoga into the Pennsylvania Derby. But then you add him to that other top three that you mentioned. That's all of a sudden a pretty big foursome.
Oh, it'd be huge. Now, here's a scenario with that horse, though. I wonder if this is, you know, I guess it depends on how much he did lose, you know, fitness-wise, and I, like you said, I did read something that he was going to have to come, you know, stay a little extra time in Kentucky. I wonder if in Saratoga, if they showed up in the King's Bishop, or the Allen Jerkins at 7/8, and then went to the Pennsylvania Derby, and then third start off the layoff, try the Breeders' Cup Classic back at Santa Anita. I wonder if that's at all, you know, if they get going beforehand and they can get a start earlier, then they can make the Travers. But I'm wondering if maybe with everything that's happened, do they just start off with at Saratoga on the same day, heck of a day, right?
Right.
Allen Jerkins with Omaha Beach, and then the other three we mentioned in the in the Travers. That would be, you know, one hell of a day.
That'd be a heck of a good day up in northern New York. All right, last thing, just a feel type thing. I truly appreciated what Mark Cassie did on Derby Day. You and I had our conversation about whether it should or shouldn't have been a DQ, and the Lion people are digging their heels in on their beliefs, and that's fine, and not everybody's going to see eye to eye. But I really like the fact that Mark Cassie told his jockey, Tyler Gaffalione, I'd prefer you not to lob, to throw in an objection, because all it's going to do is move us from eighth to seventh, and there's no purse difference, and he didn't want any part of being the reason why the Kentucky Derby winner got taken down. And I kind of agreed with him, and I liked the stance that he took. And it's compared to Mott's jockey, Flavian Pratt, claiming foul when he wasn't even involved, which I thought was a stretch. Was there a little good racing karma going Mark Cassie's way yesterday because he had handled it correctly on Kentucky Derby Day, that the racing gods looked down at a sunny Baltimore track yesterday and said, yeah, this guy should win?
Well, my only thing about that, Jody, is objections are lodged on the track, on horseback. You, it's not like you come back and me talk to your trainer and then say, you know what, let's lodge an objection. You know, I think they were already looking at the race. You know, to pile on, I guess, would have been, I guess when they're looking at it for 22 minutes, I guess you could have said, hey, throw us in the mix too. As Tyler Gaffalione, for me, I would have claimed foul, especially in this era of horse safety. And we can't allow this to happen. I understand, you know, he's my brother in arms here because we're both jockeys and we do the same job and everything, but this was a bit, you know, this was right around the time where horse safety was a big issue and race riding is a big issue too. And as part of that, I would have played foul if I was him. And if I was Mark Cassie, I would say, well, I wouldn't have done it, but I see where you're coming from. I think Mark Cassie was the beneficiary of just a really good trip, a smart training job, and really having a good horse that he wanted to, I wouldn't call it vindicate or redemption. He just wanted to show him off. He's like, you know what? This, I think my horse is better than what he was given a chance to show in the Kentucky Derby. I want to give him a chance to show it. If I'm wrong, I'll pack up my bags and go home, and we'll see you in the summer. If I'm right, I may have a shot at a championship, and I can go on to the Belmont Stakes. And he was right. And what I do like about Mark Cassie is that he runs his horse. I think now it's 5 starts this year for this horse. Not too many of these other horses have 5 starts. He'll have a full campaign, and I like that.
And another thing I think I'm going to like about Mark Cassie, he's trainer on Sir Winston, right? And he was the most impressive for me coming out of the Peter Pan and off that effort. I think he should get his chance in the Belmont Stakes, which means not only will he run War of Will, he'll run against War of Will. Well, that's the kind of guy that they need in horse racing, right? Who's out there to try and win with whatever fire whatever bullets he's got. And I think that Sir Winston is a horse we're going to have to take a look at 3 weeks from now. Dave, great stuff, as always. You're the best, my friend. Thank you very much for coming on, and we will talk to you 3 weeks hence.
Sounds good, Jody. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.